You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
In the holiest place, in the holy city of Jerusalem, is where he tempted the Son of God in a way that would have taken his life. He's out to stop him before he gets started. And he does the same thing with you and me. When God saves you, gifts you, gives you an anointing, gives you a calling, gives you a purpose, makes you happy in Jesus, makes you contagious for him, you can know that the devil is not far away because he attacks what is holy. He attacks what is good.
When you're tempted, what is your defense? When Satan attacks you, how do you stand firm in God's promises? Today in his message, Pastor Jeff reminds you that when you're facing difficult trials and feel like giving up, never forget who will never leave your side: Jesus. You should never feel alone in your mistakes. Everyone has issues that resurface, and the key is to keep Jesus at the center of it all. Even he faced difficult temptations from the devil, and how did he prevail? By knowing the Bible. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Luke chapter 4 as he begins his message, A Leap of Faith.
According to Luke's gospel, now you read your Bible, the account of this wilderness temptation is in Matthew and in Luke. There's only a couple of little differences, but it's the same narrative. It's the same thing. And according to Luke's gospel, this is the third temptation that Jesus has been assaulted with. Now, I want you to remember now, keep in mind, 40 days without food. So he's weak. He's starving. He's a human being, so we can safely say he's almost dead. 40 days without food. He's close to dying, starving to death. And that's when the devil decided to attack him. That's when he came at him. And so we see right off the bat, this is the devil's way. The devil is not fair. The devil has no compassion. He has no empathy, no sympathy, no mercy. He could care less what you're going through. Your tears don't bother the devil at all. As a matter of fact, he would rejoice over the tears of a saint. The devil is never going to hurt for you and me. The devil is a monster. The devil is a beast. The devil is a cruel spirit being, and he attacks when we're down. He attacks when we're discouraged. He attacks when you're weak. He attacks when you're weary. He attacks when you're disillusioned. He attacks when you're at your lowest point. He doesn't do it when you're riding high on a wave of glory. He attacks when you're betrayed. He attacks when people have let you down. He attacks when you've been going too much too long and you're tired. That's when he attacks. When you're hungry, he attacks. He plays on your needs. He plays on your fears. He plays on your weaknesses. He plays on your cravings, your longings. Many of the right needs you have, he plays on it to try to get you to make a wrong move over a right need. Now, we remember that in 1 John 2:16, John said, let me tell you what the world is comprised of, how it runs. He said it runs by, it operates by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the driving forces of this fallen world. All of the motives that people move on and react to and seek to satisfy when they're carnal and when they're unsaved, living in the flesh. It is all run by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. What you see, what you hunger for, and the attitude, I don't need God, pride of life. Pride. Spiritual pride, personal pride, I'm all that in a bag of chips kind of pride. Ain't I something kind of pride? Because the devil knows if he can get you to walk in pride, you're going to fall. Right? The first sin to stain God's universe was pride, and it came through the devil. The devil was full of pride, and he headed up towards heaven, it says in the Bible, to overthrow God. That is insane pride. And that's what got him cast to the earth. So his first temptation to Jesus is to appeal to his fleshly needs. And he said to Jesus, turn these stones into bread. Disabuse your power to meet your own needs. And Jesus said, no way, even if I die, I will not act outside of the will of God. His second temptation was an appeal to the eyes. The Bible says that Satan showed Jesus in a moment's time all the kingdoms of the world. This was a visual thing. He had a vision, in a moment's time, he had this technicolor vision of all the kingdoms of the world, the glitz and the glamour, the glistening, the glory. And Satan said, it's all yours. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. And Jesus saw right through it and said, you know what? The Father will give me all of that later. I can do delayed gratification. As for worshiping you, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So he saw through that one. In the third temptation, Satan's appealing to his spiritual pride. So here we are, right in line with John. All that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, are not from the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. But all three of those are right there in the temptations of Jesus, and we see the harmony of God's word. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Now he's down to the last temptation before it's all over, and he enters into his ministry. Now, just for a little background understanding of where the devil took him, the part of the temple Satan led Jesus to was the stunning southern wing that was constructed by Herod the Great, known as the Royal Portico. It was incredible. It was way high up. It was stories high. So he takes him way up high. How many of you have a fear of heights? You don't like heights. My kind of people. Raise your hand again. Amen. How many of you don't like flying? Oh, we're going out to lunch afterwards. We're going to fellowship. Here's the deal. He took him way up. The Jewish historian Josephus calls it the most remarkable building under the sun. This was the renovated temple that Herod the Great renovated, and it was called one of the wonders of the world. It was one of the architectural wonders of the world. And where the devil led Jesus to was the highest point of God's house, where God dwelt in those days. If you jumped from up there, it was a guaranteed death. You plummeted several stories to your death. Now here's Jesus at the very top. He's at the top, and he's looking out over all that he can see from this height. There he is, several stories high. He's taken this spot. We don't know by vision or in person. Because remember, when Paul went to heaven, Paul said these words. He said, I went to heaven and I saw things I can't even repeat on earth. And he said, whether I went in person or not, I don't know. I just know that I went. We don't know if Jesus was taken in person or if he was taken by vision, but it was just as real either way. And he's way up there. He's looking down. If you've ever looked down from a really high skyscraper, you know you get dizzy and this fear hits you of falling off. He's way up there and there's no guardrail. And Satan says to him, jump. And then he quotes the Bible to the Son of God to jump. Now, I want you to notice the devil. I told you I was going to expose him. Let me expose him. I want you to again notice the devil has no fear of walking right up to the Son of God and holding a conversation with him. He's brazen. He's arrogant. He hadn't changed a bit from the moment he decided to try to overthrow God. The same pride that was in him then is in him now. He approaches Jesus and engages in conversation, quoting the Bible. Jump, Jesus. He'll give his angels charge over you. Nothing will happen to you. It's all good. He literally took him up to throw him down. He has no fear of taking him into the holy city of Jerusalem. He has no qualms taking him to the holiest place in the holy city of Jerusalem. In the holiest place in the holy city of Jerusalem is where he tempted the Son of God in a way that would have taken his life. He's out to stop him before he gets started. And he does the same thing with you and me. When God saves you, gifts you, gives you an anointing, gives you a calling, gives you a purpose, makes you happy in Jesus, makes you contagious for him, you can know that the devil is not far away, because he attacks what is holy. He attacks what is good. and he attacks Jesus, he puffs him up to throw him down. So I'm saying that to say, don't think you can't be tempted in church. Can I tell you, the devil goes to church. Yeah, the devil goes to church. Don't look at your neighbor. I'm not talking about your neighbor. But the devil goes to church. The devil goes to church. Do you know the first demon that Jesus cast out of anybody was in a synagogue? The devil had gone to church that day. The devil walks into church all the time. Now, whether he makes it through the service or not depends on whether or not you're an anointed Bible-preaching church. Because if you're an anointed Bible-preaching church, who he walks in through, he may leave without him. Yeah. So the devil approaches Jesus, and he says this amazing thing, this brazen thing. He says, just jump, Jesus. Now, here's what he did. He quoted scripture, and here's what I want you to catch today, church. We got to get this today, because what I'm going to deal with is the way a lot of Christians get into big trouble. I've gotten into this kind of trouble. It's easy to do. I'm going to show you how the devil played it, because though the devil is a fallen creature, he is not stupid. He's foolish, but he's not stupid. And so look what he did. He twisted scripture to the Lord of glory in God's house. And Jesus wrote it. He goes to the one who wrote the Bible via the Holy Spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Jesus was God. And he quotes scripture, twisting it to the very one who inspired it. That's brazen. That's arrogant. That's crazy. Amen? Now, I want you to notice that he began all of the temptations with an if. With an if. He said, if you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. What's with the if thing? That's the devil's MO. That's the way he operates. He wants you to doubt the word of God in your life. Because remember, before the wilderness, Jesus had been to the Jordan River. John had baptized him in water. When he came out of the water, the Bible says the Spirit of God descended on him in the form of a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Right there, God the Father attested to the begotten sonship of Jesus Christ. And right then and there, the devil said, that's what I'm going to attack. So notice, God gives Jesus this word. You're my only begotten Son, and I'm very well pleased in you. And just shortly after, he's led into the wilderness. And what does the devil attack? The word of God over his life. He attacks the word of God over his life. He attacks the word of God over Jesus' life, and he attacks the word of God over our life. Have you ever noticed God will give you a word? God will speak to you. When God begins to operate in your life, that's sometimes when all hell breaks loose, because the devil is attacking the word of God that came to your life. He's not out to make something go bump in the night. He's not out to give you a hard time. He's not out to give you a flat tire. He's after your faith. He wants your faith. And our faith is built upon the word of God. You're here today because of the word of God. I'm here today because of the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You and I are here born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. The word of God. And when God puts the word in you and me, that's what Satan goes for. And he wants to stick a big if on it. Great big if on it. If you are the Son of God, well, then turn the stones to bread. If you're the Son of God, jump from here. So the first thing we learn from Jesus' temptations is a truism. As long as you and I are on this planet, Satan attacks God's word to us. Satan is after God's word. He's after God's word. He challenges every bit of truth that God gives you and me, and he tries to get us to doubt it or to let go of it or to give up on it. Are you hearing me today? He gives you a calling, a purpose, a vision, a reason, something that you know you're here on earth for. And that's what the devil's going to come after. If you're having to wait for it, he's going to say, where's God? If God is with you, where's the promise? We get saved, And what does he do? He attacks our salvation. He attacks God's word to us. If you are a real Christian, then why are you still losing your temper? Lusting, having fear struggles, doubting certain things. If you're a Christian, if you are a son or daughter of God, then why this, that, and the other? And he puts an if in front of your salvation. He wants us to doubt our salvation, especially when we're young in the faith and struggling with some major habit. The devil swoops in to attack the word of God in our life. He attacks the word of God. I'm preaching something today now. I want you to catch this. You know, you feel like you're called to do something. And then it seems like the opposite happens. And here comes the devil. If you are called to do this or that, then how come this or that are not happening? Where is it? And he wants you to either doubt the word or give up on the word or let go of the word. When the angel came to Mary and said, listen, you're going to have a child and the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And that which is born in you, conceived in you, is the Holy One of God, Mary. And you know what the Bible says? Mary hid these things in her heart. You know what the word hid? It comes from a Greek word that means to lock in a safe. She hid it. That means she watched over it because she knew the devil was going to come after it. The word of God to her life. The word of God to her life. So she hid it. She locked it in the safe of her heart. She would not let the devil come and sow doubt about this amazing thing God had said was going to happen with her. She hid it. Now, I'm telling you, folks, there are things that you and I have got to lock in the safe of our heart and not let the devil anywhere near it with an if. Are you with me? Come on. Jesus has been gone 2,000 years. Peter predicted that in the last days, scoffers are going to come saying, where is the promise of his coming? Because everything's been going like it's going right now. It's been going this way forever. He's not coming. Just because we're having to wait, the devil wants to put an if on the possibility of Christ returning at all. And that's why we got to hang on to it. As long as you're in this church, you're going to hear about the return of Christ. Because I'm telling you, he is near, even at the door. But the word, I want you to hear me today, the word is something you got to watch over in your life. Because if God gives you a word, when he gives you a word, and we're all here because of the word, you can know that that's going to be Satan's target. Amen. He's coming after it. Now he quotes to Jesus, the word of God. Now here's where I want to expose him again. Not only is he arrogant, not only is he full of pride, but he's also crafty. Now watch what he did. Here's Jesus, this dizzying height. He's looking down. The devil says, look, jump. You know the word. It says he will give his angels to protect you in all you do. All you do. Did you hear that, Jesus? All that you do. They will lift you up in their hands so you will not slip and you won't fall onto a stone. You won't hit bottom, Jesus. Now, let me tell you what he was doing. He does it with you and me. I'm going to give you a nugget now. Please listen. The quote was accurate, but the application was false. Amen. Yeah. The quote was right, word for word, but the application was wrong. Amen. Because let me tell you what that psalm that I just read to you is for. It's only God promising divine protection when we're under attack. I'm going to protect you. The arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks about in darkness, and all of that that's in Psalms 91, one of our favorite psalms. All that psalm is about is God saying, I'm going to protect you when you're under attack. I'm going to protect you if you're walking in my will and you're looking to me and you're calling on me. I'm going to protect you. That's all it's saying. Here's what it's not saying. I'm giving you an open blank check to go and do whatever you want with this promise, even if it means jumping off a skyscraper. What it's not saying is put God to the test and prove that this is true. That's what it's not saying. So the devil was quoting the truth, but he was giving a false, deadly application. He was giving it a wrong context. He was putting a promise into a wrong context. He was tempting Jesus to literally take a leap of faith from the pinnacle of the temple out of sheer presumption, not from a word from God. Yeah, it was the word of God, but it was not a word for jumping off the temple. Are y'all with me? Track with me now. I'm telling you something today. It was an appeal to spiritual pride. Let me show you how. Show us just how much you believe God's word, Jesus. Come on. There's all of Israel down there. There's all the Jewish people down there that you say you came to die for. Go ahead and jump. They'll all see it. They're all going to see you jump. And when the angels hold you up, it's a done deal. They're all going to believe in you. Spiritual pride. So show us just how much you believe God's word, Jesus. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Put it another way, show us how great your faith is. Come on, Son of God. If you are the Son of God, then you've got amazing faith. Jump. Here's another way, look at it. Prove to the world how much God loves you and that you're truly His Son by His angelic rescue of you. Jump. The devil says to us, jump into this particular circumstance or situation or context. You've got the word to do it. Jump. But his appeal to Jesus is the same appeal to us. I want you to act presumptuously rather than from the direction of God. Because every Bible verse, folks, has a context, has a timing attached to it. Sometimes we're to act on it immediately. I'll give you a verse that you can always act on immediately and never wonder if you miss God. The verse that says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When you call on the name of the Lord, you are going to be, if you're not saved and you call upon the name of Jesus, you are going to be instantly saved. And you don't have to worry about timing because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Anytime you act on that verse as a lost person, you are acting in time. It's never too late to get saved, and it's never a bad time to get saved. When you need to get saved, you need to get saved, and you need to do it while the doing is good. You need to do it now. Now. If you wait, you may not have another chance. So that's always a verse that is for the now. But not all verses are that way. Some verses have a timer attached. We've got to trust God and believe God. Let me give you an example. Jesus said, there's no doubt about it, in Mark 16, 17, and 18, Jesus said these words. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. How many in here believe? Now he says, these signs will follow those who believe. Here's what he said in verse 18. They'll pick up snakes, serpents, the Greek word there, poisonous viper. You will pick up a poisonous viper with your hands. And when you drink deadly poison, it will not hurt you at all. Now is that Jesus' words? Everybody say yes, amen. Is it in the red ink in your Bible? Yeah, it's written in the red. Jesus said it. But let me ask you this question. Does that mean that you're to go out and find the nearest rattlesnake and hold on to it because the Word of God said that you can pick up a snake and it won't hurt you? Is that what it means? No, but the devil tells all kinds of people that. We call them the snake handlers. I'm not going to tell you what state the churches are in that do this, but there's churches that do this, and he'll get the rattlesnake up in the pulpit and mess around with it. And I've seen these guys get bit and swell up and die. And there are all kinds of ill-advised Christians lying in early graves who acted presumptuously on these passages and put God to the test.
We love it when we're able to solve everything on our own. But what do you do when nothing seems to change? In today's message, Pastor Jeff showed you that God's free gift of grace is available to you, and you need to stop trying to fix everything on your own. It doesn't matter how hard you work or how much time you put in, you'll never solve your own issues. Follow God and be saved by His perfect gift of grace. He's waiting for you with open arms. We'd love for you to have additional resources. Here's Diane with more.
You've been listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Would you be interested in helping support this ministry as we further the gospel? All you have to do is go to hardwired.org and click on donate. For anyone who donates $20 or more in the month of December, we'll send you a 2024 calendar with daily scripture readings. Just go to hardwired.org to donate. Here's Daniel one more time with a sneak peek about the next edition.
Next time, Pastor Jeff wants you to know that you need to fill yourself up daily with God's truths and not that of the world. Even when it may seem attractive to let the world's ways slowly seep into who you are, it'll never satisfy. Fill yourself up with God's abundant grace and be saved from the burdens that are holding you hostage. Turn your back on the past that is haunting you and be forever a new creation. Never forget your stake in eternity. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hardwired.org. Join us next time to continue our study in the book of Luke, right here on Hardwired.